Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Quick hitter to Shakir, has a blocker in front, down to the 3-2, reaching for the goal line, and he's in! Khalil Shakir with an 11-yard catch and run for the touchdown, and Spencer Brown gets the spiking honors.
There was Chris Brown on the call. Khalil Shakir's touchdown from Sunday. The Bills 34-28 victors over the Arizona Cardinals. We go now, though, to the Wester Hotline as the Bills are on a short week to take on the Miami Dolphins for Thursday Night Football. And Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good, guys. Good morning to you, too.
Also on that clip, though, Spencer Brown got the spike. Sal, we actually finally, it feels like I've been waiting 2 weeks for this. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been that long, but we do finally have reported numbers on Spencer Brown's contract. Do you want to run through that real quick?
Yeah, it appears as though, obviously, different ways to structure things, but it appears as though it's a 4-year contract extension, $72 million in new money. He gets just shy of $20 million, fully guaranteed. This is all according to Over the Cap. I know a few other places have put it out there, but I'm reading, you know, what they wrote. $16 million bonus, and a roster bonus, $7.1 million the year after that. 25 is the option, 16, and then roster, 7.5 the year after that. Anyway, it's a good way to saying that this appears as though 2025, locked in, a lot of money, and then, hey, if things don't go well, then you can reassess what you want to do. There would be obviously some hurdles and financially, but they could make some maneuvers. But and then the more I look at it, to me, it looks more really of a 3-year extension more than a 4-year extension. And then, you know, it's very reduced at the back end. But overall, I think the bottom line is here, the Bills identified a player that they really like, that's young, that's ascending, and they now have their bookend tackles locked up, both Deion Dawkins on the left and Spencer Brown on the right for the next several years.
And I will tell you, Sal, the way I saw it initially, you know, first seeing it this morning was, it was the old, we have faith in you, you are ascending, but we just want to make sure, just in case anything goes wrong, injuries, what have you, we can get out of this, and it's not a contract that you know, they are looking back at it, fans are looking back at it and calling it, you know, a huge failure. They leave themselves an out, which I think is smart, while also, you know, commending the player and giving him, you know, the correct salary for what he's valued at.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, I mean, I just tweeted out a little while ago today that one of the things that I get fascinated by is how fans immediately look to, when can we get out of a contract when a guy signs it? And I get it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't wonder that, and I'm not saying that things can't go wrong. Of course, I get all of that. But the goal shouldn't be to get out of a contract before it ends. The goal should be, hey, this guy was good, and we got a good contract here, and if we go out to term, and that would be great, and then you sign another one. And, of course, that's not normal, right? Along the way, there's going to be maybe another extension, maybe a tweak, maybe it does go poorly, but this is a contract here that it looks like the Bills did exactly that. They said, like, we really have faith. He had some injuries early in his career. He's played really well. We identified this player, so now we're going to kind of move forward with him. And just so you know, now both them. So Deion Dawkins, his contract is looking here, 3-year extension, so what, 20, 24, 25, 26, he's locked up for. And now this puts, let me find Spencer Brown here through 27 here, so if I have my years right. So there you go, 28. Thank you. So Deion through 27, Spencer through 28, because Deion's was also an extension because he had 1 year remaining.
And as you mentioned, I mean, that locks in their two tackles here for the long run. Sal, we are, of course, on a short week here. The Bills play in 2 days down in Miami. We already had the quote-unquote first injury reports. Both teams, though, were participating in a walkthrough. Real quick, though, me and Josh here, we're sort of wrapping up our thoughts for week one. We haven't been on air since last week. For me personally, and I obviously I heard you on yesterday with Shope and the Bulldog, I found myself really agreeing with your point where Josh Allen didn't need to be Superman on Sunday. He just happens to be that guy. Like he that's what he does. But ultimately, this is something I've been banging the drum for all offseason, is that the Bills just want to have a ton of dudes at the skill position players, guys that are going to do their jobs correctly and take some off of Josh Allen. He's not going to have to make hero throws constantly. And I feel like you saw that on Sunday, where I think 10 guys caught passes, and there was even, people are going through the All-22 now. There was a point where Dalton Kincaid is quadruple covered, and he just takes the dump off to Ray Davis, and he keep moving. The offense, to me, Sal, felt like, outside of a few bad penalties and a bad turnover by Josh on, I believe, the first offensive drive, they were moving with impunity.
Yeah, I agree, and this is the point I was trying to make over the last couple of days. This was not a Josh Allen hero ball game. This was a Josh Allen did special things game. That's what it was. He wasn't asked to, and he didn't have to necessarily make incredible plays for them to win. He just happened to have those. I think the way the offense was moving, they may have scored anyway if he doesn't run in the ball and jump over Buda Baker. I mean, you go to the first half of this game, James Cook was averaging close to 7 yards a carry. I mean, they were moving the ball. Well, what they did, though, was they get down in their first drive, and Josh gets sacked, and he fumbles. Then the second drive, they go down and get stopped in the red zone. They have to kick a field goal. In fact, they had a touchdown call back on the second drive, right? Josh Allen ran one in. So, yeah, I don't take away from this game some of the – now, if you look at the box score, this is called box score scouting, right? If you look at box score and you say, Josh had 2 running touchdowns, he had 2 passing touchdowns. Boy, they really needed him to be Superman and put on the cape. No, I don't think that's right. If you watched the game and you were there, you watched it on TV, you understand and you saw that the Bills actually did a really good job moving the football. They didn't need Josh Allen to do that. That's just how he plays. That's just who he is. He's a special player. He's a special athlete. So when it came down to it, there were a few plays to be made. I think this team was still in a good position offensively, independent of Josh having to make those plays. But, of course, he is a guy that you don't want him to not do that, right? I mean, if that's what's going to make your offense special, then why not do that? So, yeah, I didn't think he had to be a Superman. I just think he was, because that's who he is. And look, the Cardinals did a really good job in the second half of buttoning down on James Cook after he averaged 7 yards a carry. He only averaged 3.7 yards for the game. So in the second half, he really didn't have anything, and they kind of smothered him. So they did a nice job, and that's when Josh had to kind of take things over a little bit here and there. But I just think that they played a really sound, good offensive game outside of the sack and fumble and the penalties, which really, really hurt them a lot.
So, Sal, also looking here at the box score, one guy that I feel like most of us and most of Bills fans probably thought was going to kind of burst out, maybe even in this first game, Dalton Kincaid. He only had 1 catch, 11 yards on 2 targets. You really worried there, or you think it was just that Arizona was game planned for him specifically and it just led Allen to other opportunities?
Not worried whatsoever. He's going to be a big part of this team. And if his impact is double and triple teaming him so other people get open, then that's great. I mean, this is what this offense has been designed for. It's what we were told it's going to be going all the way back to March, to April, that they're going to have what everybody eats. That's their mantra. Look at everybody eating. 10 different players had the ball thrown to them. 9 different receivers caught passes, whether it's tight end or running back or whatever, 9 different players. I mean, if you would have told me going into the game, the leading receiver for the Bills would have 4 catches for 51 yards, I'd be worried. Think about it and look at it and say, wait a minute, that actually worked pretty well. 4 catches, 51 yards was the high watermark. That's Keon Coleman. But then you had 3 for 42, 3 for 32, 2 for 25, 2 for 15, 1 for 23. I mean, it's incredible. It goes down. All 9 players who caught a pass for the Bills excuse me, including Dalton Kincaid's one catch and Dawson Knox's one catch and MVS's one catch and Ray Davis's one catch, all nine players who caught a pass for the Bills had double-digit yardage. I mean, this is the definition of everybody eats. I'm not worried whatsoever. I think he will be a big part of the game plan, and all that's going to happen now is maybe Thursday night the Dolphins do the same thing, and they say, we're not going to let Dalton Kincaid beat us. Well, then Josh has to throw it to other people. Eventually, teams will have to start covering other people, and Dalton Kincaid's going to get his targets and he's going to get his catches.
What do you think that means long-term, though, for Kincaid specifically? I mean, if teams do stay on him, you know, in these double, triple, quadruple coverages as we saw in the one highlight, and let's say we're in week nine and that's still happening, how do you think the Bills could adapt that and maybe try to scheme him open more? Like, is that just something that we'll have to, you know, cross that bridge when we get there? Or what do you think that could mean long-term?
I don't know if you can scheme someone open if the defense is concentrating on triple teaming them. I mean, it's just
right.
that's what they're going to do,
yeah,
right?
That's true.
I mean, it's going to be hard. At that point, you're forcing the ball, and I don't think the Bills want to do that. I think the Bills want to get away from any sort of concept of forcing the ball to someone, right? They'll adjust. I do think, and this goes back to something we talked about a lot in this offseason, and we saw it on that one play in the 23-yard gain. I do think this is where Dawson Knox comes in, guys. I think Dawson Knox is going to be a bigger part of this offense than people realize, and that might be because teams are going to concentrate on Dalton Kincaid, and now all of a sudden you have another tight end who is a good pass catcher who you say, all right, well, if you want to do that, we have another tight end here we could either block with or we could put on the route and we could throw it to him. And that's why I think Dawson Knox can have a bigger role this receiving game than a lot of people expected coming into the season.
Moving on now to Thursday night. As I mentioned, kind of, Sal, as you came right in, we've already got the first injury reports of the week. Both teams participating in a walkthrough, so it's kind of more of a projection if full practice is going on. But for the Dolphins, of course, the Bills, Tyron Johnson already out with a forearm. I feel it's not too surprising. He was ruled out on Sunday. Now it's more of a see how long it is. But for the Dolphins, Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert both would not have practiced. Sal, what do you make of that, especially with the Dolphins' run game and the speed they use in the backfield?
Well, we'll see where this goes as far as, you know, Thursday night. I will tell you right now that their offensive coordinator, Frank Smith, is speaking to the media, I think even as we talk right here, and I'll just read you some of the reports coming out of Miami. Frank Smith, he does not yet have an answer for Devon Achane and Raheem Morris' status for Thursday. Now, he is the assistant coach. They're asking him. Typically, the head coach handles those duties. I don't know. It could very well just be they're going to lay off them, and they'll see if they're ready for Thursday night, or they're going to be ready, but they're laying off them a little bit. That could be the case, or it could be where they're out one or both of them, and obviously that would be a big blow to them. It is a short week for the Miami Dolphins too, not just for the Buffalo Bills. And obviously Josh Allen's injury, we know he's cleared. You know, Taron Johnson is not going to play in this game. We know Smoot is most likely not going to play, but the Dolphins dealing with some injuries. And if they're going to be out Achane and or Mostert, that impacts what they want to do. Jeff Wilson is there. That's a guy that they will give the ball to. So they have a couple of guys, and, you know, they run a type of offense where even on their offense, like, everybody eats a little bit, right? It's Tyreek Hill, but in the backfield, they've kind of rotated through the last couple of years under Mike McDaniel. So I would expect that they'd have guys ready to go, but those would be big blows, either those guys missing.
The Dolphins also for week one had a comeback victory, ultimately an Etienne fumble kind of keeps them in the game. What did you make from their performance against Jacksonville, ultimately winning 20-17, but very much we're staring down the barrel potentially of a 24-7 deficit late in that third quarter?
And did you see how the game turned at the goal line there? I don't know if you guys saw the play. I mean, I saw the highlight and I didn't, like, wasn't dialed into the exact play, but apparently, I mean, Travis Etienne was running into the end zone. He was literally at the 2-yard line, and it was a peanut punched out the ball. That would have made it like 24-3. And they got the ball back. They scored a touchdown. Then they got it again. They scored a touchdown again. They wound up winning the game. I mean, hey, if you're a Miami fan, I mean, that's going to go a long way for confidence. And, oh my gosh, they had this big comeback. That's great for them. So, you know, obviously starting off 1-0. Now these two teams are 1-0. So I was looking last night, guys, the AFC East. I was wondering if the Jets had won, every team in the East would be 1-0. I went back and said, when's the last time that happened? I found the answer. 2015. Everybody was 1-0 in the AFC East to start the season, 2015. But that did not happen because the Jets lost. Mm-hmm. So they're 0-1. But this is an early – whoever wins this game is in first place in the AFC East until Sunday, at least, until, you know, the Patriots play, and then we'll see what happens there. But, I, you know, look, I mean, I guess I was surprised the Dolphins only scored the amount of points that they scored to come back and win, only scored a couple of touchdowns. I mean, this is an offense that we all know has been near the top or at the top of the league. They do a lot of things, especially early in the season, that teams are trying to adjust to catch up to, but didn't seem like now Tua did throw for over 300 yards. He was only one of the only quarterbacks in the league this week to throw for over 300 yards, which is really interesting, right? So, you know, they still have a lot of offensive firepower. They still have a lot of offensive weapons. And, of course, we saw the big playability they have on display, Tyreek Hill with an 80-yard touchdown.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sal, you mentioned the AFC East there. The Jets last night. I was not able to watch the game, but, you know, kind of following Twitter and such, it felt like the Jets, for all the hype they get and everything, it seemed like it was... yeah, they've got Aaron Rodgers, who's 40 coming off an injury, Garrett Wilson, and Breece Hall, and that's their whole offense. And I know we've got a few weeks here until the Bills do take on the Jets, but it sort of felt like if you're a Jets fan, everything bad that you thought could happen outside of injuries seemed to happen. I mean, even there was a period where people were confused, why is Sauce Gardner not on the field? And I seemingly never actually got an explanation for why he was not on the field.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to ask you guys, did we ever find that out?
It's just he was down on the field, then he went back in, and everyone was like, I guess he's back in.
So, listen, Aaron Rodgers looked older and immobile to me. That's what he looked like. When he stood in the pocket and he had some time, he threw some lasers and some darts and very accurate. That's what he does. I mean, he's one of the greatest ever. But he really didn't move much, and he stayed there. And when the pressure started coming, he wanted to make sure he got rid of the ball so he didn't have to. And that's obviously what people are wondering about here. He didn't quite look like, you know, the Aaron Rodgers in his prime. Not that he should or people expected that. But I think Jets fans were hoping maybe to see a little bit more mobility, a little bit more of hanging in there. And, you know, however that would go, it just seemed like it was a little bit too rough, you know, to make those plays. Breece Hall did not have a great day running the ball. I'm going to go back and look. I don't know his – let me see what his overall stat line here was, because I know he had some yards later in the game. 16 for 54, 3.4 yard. And that was including late in the game, you know, once it was in doubt and this 49ers started subbing, he had a 16-yard run. I mean, you know, I don't think the offensive line did a great job there. Breece Hall didn't have very good numbers. I know that – you know, Garrett Wilson looked really good. Alan Lazard made a couple of real nice catches. Obviously, he had two touchdowns as well. But the big thing for me that really surprised me about the Jets, after the first quarter, their defensive line just got pushed around. Mm-hmm. I mean, Quinnen Williams was getting pushed around. It just seemed like they were always 2 or 3 yards back. You know, the 49ers were pushing the line of scrimmage. And I did not expect that from the Jets defense, obviously. And, you know, people talk about Hassan Reddick and what – I don't know. How much does – You put Haason Reddick in the field last night. How much of a different game is that? I don't know. Is it really that much of a different game? I just the way that the 49ers played and the way the defensive line was getting handled after the first quarter there for the Jets, I'm not sure it was.
And I think that's a fair thing to bring up. Like, how much does Haason Reddick really bring up? And as well, I think a thing that's always kind of ignored with the Jets, or we'll all laugh about it and then sort of forget about it. This is on the offensive side of things, but like Nathaniel Hackett's there, and there were reports that the Jets sort of wanted to move off of him or get somebody else, have someone else call the plays. It just that seems like an organization that is just desperate for any kind of success. Come hell or high water, they're going to do anything. They're going to move anything to do it, and nothing seems to be working at all. And partially because they're not making smart moves. I've loved Joe Douglas's drafts, but then there have been other moves, like the Haason Reddick trade, that just leave you scratching your head going, who is actually making decisions in there?
Well, listen, they're clearly going all in, and they're really going high risk, high reward for a lot of the things that they're doing. There's no doubt. But that's what happens when your jobs are on the line, when you have this drought. It's, you know, it's as long as the Sabres drought, right? It's the longest playoff drought going on in sports right now. So there's no doubt that they're trying to do whatever they can. I respect that on a level, which is like, hey, they're trying to win. They're trying to do it. But obviously, there's a lot of risk that goes along with that. And if it doesn't go well this year, they might have to reset again, because you're not going to see Joe Douglas or Robert Saleh in that building anymore. And I don't even know how long that can go this year. But if you're a Jets fan, you're obviously very disappointed and upset about last night. But look at the upcoming schedule. Mm-hmm. A lot of opportunity for them. They're at the Titans. They get the Patriots at home on a Thursday night. Then they get the Broncos at home. Then they go to the Vikings. And then they have that big Bills Monday night game coming up. So the next four games for them are very winnable games for the Jets. But, you know, if they play like they did last night, I mean, you could say, okay, maybe not. But I think they'll probably play better, being they will have lesser opponents too.
The Denver Broncos. Bo Nix either had 21 or 22 completions at some point in the third or fourth quarter for like 111 yard sale. What offense is that?
Yeah, but isn't this what happened around the league? I mean, this is what was going on in the league this week. You look at the yards. How many quarterbacks threw for 300 yards in the NFL this week? Do you guys know?
Just Tua.
Tua and Matthew Stafford.
Stafford.
Well,
that's
and
right.
Sal, we were talking about it too. I found a stat earlier. There was only 35 touchdowns, passing touchdowns, in the league this year in week one. Last year it was 37, and the year before that it was like 60. It's this steep drop off that it just came out of nowhere.
And I don't know if it came out of nowhere.
It's been building.
Haven't we been talking about this? I've been talking about this since the owners' meetings and talking to people about these too high shells and how teams are just nobody's allowing you to go over the top and make these big plays. But I agree with you that like it's a very steep cliff to drop off, Josh.
That's why I
think this is what we've been building towards and trending towards for the last several years in the league. How these teams don't want to let that happen to them. They're like, heck with this. Why are we letting teams throw over the top? Why are we letting these teams beat us with these big plays? If you're going to make a big play, it's got to be by you running through us because we can't tackle you, right? That's what it's got to be. You know, you talk about those guys, and then I'll bring up Caleb Williams as well. Where's Caleb Williams on here? What did he have? His numbers.
Not good.
I mean, they were not good at all. And yet they want to win it, of course.
I mean, they did win. Will Levis's interception. Sal, have you seen that?
Correct.
His pick six?
I did. You know what I thought of, right? Oh, my God, that's Josh's rookie year. Like,
The reaction is great, where he just falls to his knees, hands on the helmet.
It's art.
Yeah.
Williams, 14 of 29, 93 yards, yeah.
I didn't think he got over 90. I thought he was at 86, so that's, yeah. They win, but like that's like one of those Bears win ever, where it's defense, special teams, touchdowns, and the quarterback, you're like, oh, what was that?
Did you see how the Steelers won? They kicked six field
beautiful
goals.
Beautiful football, Sal. That was beautiful football. Yes. That is the most Steelers win I've ever seen.
Exactly right. That's the Mike Tomlin kind of brand of football. I was way more disappointed in the Falcons, though, to get only 10 points. Kirk Cousins, 155 yards, two interceptions. Bijan, 68 yards rushing, 3.8 yards a carry. Like, the Steelers didn't do anything special. Justin Fields threw for a $1.56, did not throw a touchdown. They kicked six field goals and win.
Just, oh, man. And Kirk Cousins did not look healthy. I saw something, too, of like they took like 90% of their snaps out of the shotgun, and it's not good. Sal, though, before we let you go, because we know practice starting at noon, we want to let you get over there. We've been talking about throwing the ball. I got to ask you about college. Syracuse isn't playing this weekend, but Kyle McCord.
Nope, they got a week off.
Kyle McCord. Where did
Looks
that
great.
Come from?
Well, you know, I think that maybe, you know, you have to consider – at Ohio State, he didn't have to be the guy, right? Mm-hmm. Because they had so many great players around him. And you just throw the ball up, Marvin Harrison's going to catch it, and you have great receivers and running backs, offensive line, great defense. You know, five stars everywhere. At Syracuse, he's got to throw the ball. He's got to make plays, and he can. And they're showing that. And by the way, Syracuse does have really good receivers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Nerande Gadsden is considered a tight end, but he's, you know, transitioned from receiver. But they do have very good skilled offensive players to help him. I'm just really happy. Fran Brown, he deserves, after really, you know, he came in and he just seems like such a guy that wants to, you know, do everything right and, you know, get this program turned around. And for him to be able to get those two wins to start the season is just awesome. And now I'm really kind of wondering here, you get Stanford in a couple of weeks, a chance to go 3-0.
ACC matchup against Stanford.
I know, right?
Because the border gore in college football is awful. Got Stanford and Cal. In the ACC. Yeah. What a time. All right, Sal, thanks for joining us, man. Enjoy practice. We'll hear from you later today.
Yeah, Sean McDermott, by the way, speaks at 12:45 p.m. to the media down here, so we'll get an update on, you know, injuries, practice today, and then practice will be at in the 1 o'clock hour, 1:15, I believe, is when it starts, and then we'll hear from players after.
Awesome, Sal. Thanks, man. Talk to you later.
You got it.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the West Her Hotline. And, yeah, real quick, we do have to hit another timeout here. So, Butch, Dave, hang on the line. We'll get to you after a quick timeout. But, yeah, the border gore in college football is atrocious. The Pac-12 is dead, which, by the way, like every Pac-12 team keeps winning in their new conferences. I'd like to bring that up. USC actually is playing defense. That's incredible. That's never happened before. But, I mean, the idea that Cal and Stanford might at some point in the next few years play for an ACC championship and put that on their resume, not okay. Not okay. We used to be a proper country. College football used to be I actually love college football. I think it's in a great spot. I really, really do. I think the transfer portal is awesome. I think teams are using it correctly. We'll start to get some guidelines to it. It's going to work itself out. You're not going to get mercenary players because ultimately it's proven to not be great. You need guys that are actually buying into the program. But
look,
I am very excited for college football.
I'm at the point with college football, though, with their conferences. The ACC, yes, it's the American what?
No, it's the
Atlantic. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Sorry, I don't know where I got American from.
It's like in the name.
No.
It's like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that doesn't even change anything there. So, if your name has a region of a country, you have to stick with teams inside that region. Please,
the Atlantic Coast Conference. It's rough.
Please. Just, you had the Pac-12, bring it back and call it a day. Just stop.
I mean, I can't wait to tell my kids stories about, you know, Pac-12 after dark.
I just
Arizona State versus Arizona at midnight Eastern time.
I just don't understand it. Why get rid of something that works?
TV contracts.
So what?
I feel bad saying it, but
figure
TV
it out.
Contracts.
It's all about the money, man.
Yep. Yep. 12-team playoff, though. I think that is
that's
going to
great.
Be...
That's great. That's good.
I think that's going
to
be
you didn't
a
have to,
success.
You didn't have to blow up a conference for that.
No, that's fair.
Yeah. I was going to say, where are you going with this?
No.
How are you going
to
defend that?
You didn't need to do that. But I am excited for the 12-team playoff, namely because team seasons are not dead after one loss. I think that was always a tough selling point for college football of, you know, to have any teams play anyone of serious note in week one, but be like, oh, but by the way, if you're on the losing end on a neutral site, stop playing this year because it's over. It's a really tough selling point. And, you know, as someone that's a Texas fan, I watched the beginning of the Michigan game with some nerves. After that, it was all hunky-dory and it was a lot of fun. But, like, there was, you know, in years past, it had been like, don't lose. Doesn't matter that it's a non-conference game. You cannot lose. Like, you'll be out of the top four, and it'll be nearly impossible to get back in. I mean, goodness. Florida State went undefeated and couldn't get in the four because their quarterback play was so bad. So I think the 12-team playoff is going to be a lot of fun. Week three, though, not really any huge marquee matchups. I'll be writing about that, though, coming up Friday this week, and I'll be doing that throughout the season as well, kind of giving a preview over at our website, WGR550.
The Texas preview.
No.
Yes.
But they will have a piece, most likely. And they're going to be one of the best teams. They're ranked number two in the country. You just got to deal with it. You got to deal with it.
I can't make fun of you about Texas anymore. I got to figure something out.
Oh, some of my friends are really reeling. That was like the one thing they had.
Well,
Because the Angels, it's self-deprecating. I'll follow you.
Right.
Texas hurt.
Well, yeah, I know. And I used to make fun of you for it. Yeah. Now I can't.
803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here until 12 o'clock. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.